Today's daf is Gittin Daf Samach. We're holding on Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, about 5-6 lines from the end of the page. We were discussing why it is that if there's no Kohen, Nispar de Chavila, or if there's no Levi, you would call a Kohen in this place. So we're going to continue that discussion a little bit today. And then we're also going to talk about the Shaila of whether you can do Kriyas HaTorah with Chumashim, or if you don't have a full Sefer Torah, is Chumashim also a valid way to do Kriyas HaTorah? We're also going to discuss whether we can write small Megillos of Torah for children to learn from, even though we're not going to write the whole thing. And Gemara is going to discuss how the Torah was given. Was the Torah Megillah Nitna, or was it Chasuma Nitna? Was it given all at one time, or was it given piece by piece? The Gemara is going to talk about Machlokas of whether Rov Torah is Bichsav, or Rov of Torah is Torah Shebal Peh. So some really fundamental issues about Ksivas HaTorah, Mesiras HaTorah. We're going to talk about the issue of writing Dvarim Shebichsav, writing Dvarim Shebal Peh, and saying Bal Peh Torah Shebichsav. Then the Gemara is going to move on toward the end of the daf to go through the other takanos of Darkei Shalom that we mentioned in our Mishnah. So we're going to discuss what the Darkei Shalom was in not moving the Eruv from one house to the other, and it's also going to discuss the Darkei Shalom of a bar that's Karov La'amas Hamayim, that's closest to Amas Hamayim, getting the water first. So we're going to discuss different cases where you have fields alongside a river that flows downwards, so which fields are entitled to fill up from the water of the river first, the upper fields or the lower fields. We have stories that discuss cases that actually happened with the river and different fields that had disputes over who's entitled to the water. But we left off on the fourth wide line on Nun Tes Amud Beis. Maishna Levi Acha Levi Dika Pagam Shneim Damri Chad Minei Olav Levi Hu Koin Acha Koin Ami Amri Chad Minei Olav Koin Hu. We had said yesterday that you can't call a Koin after a Koin because it's going to be a Pagam of the Rishon. Everyone's going to say, oh, the first guy must not have been a Kasher Koin. You can't call a Levi after a Levi because that's going to be a Pagam Shneim, because either one people might say is not a Levi. They might say the first guy wasn't really a Levi. They might say the second guy isn't really a Levi. So why is it by the Kohen we're only concerned about the Pagam of the first guy, whereas by the Levi we're concerned about the Pagam of both Levim? Shouldn't the two cases be parallel? So Gemara says, Kigon de Muksuklan Bavur, da Hasheni to Kohen. By the case of the Kohen, we're not concerned about a Pagam of the second fellow because everyone knows that his father is a Kohen. The only concern was the first guy, where not everyone knows that his father is a Kohen, so we're afraid people are going to question his Kohuna. So says Gemara, well, if you're going to make the cases parallel, then by the case of the Levi also, it should be where you know that the second guy's father is a Levi. In which case, you shouldn't be concerned about him, you should only be concerned about the first Levi. No, even though we know that the second guy's father is a Levi, we're concerned that maybe he married a Mamzeres or a Nesina, and that this child of this Levi father is not a Levi. So that's why it's going to be a Pagam for him as well. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you're going to keep it parallel, well, then you should say the same thing by the case of the Kohen. That, yeah, you may know the second guy's father is a Kohen, but people might say that his father's a Kohen, but his father may be married a Grusha or a Chalutza. He is the product of that, and he is therefore a Chalal. So, Levi Mikahavi. Gemara says, yeah, but even if people assume that, why is he getting called for the Levi Aliyah? If he's a Chalal, he should be called for some other Aliyah. He shouldn't be called for the Levi Aliyah. The fact that he's getting called for the Levi Aliyah is an indication that and if we know his father's a Kohen and he's being called for the Levi Aliyah, it's an indication he's not a Chalal. He must really be a Kohen. And that's why we're only concerned for Pagam Bashal Rishon, not for the Pagam of the second Kohen. Ulaman, who exactly do we think is going to think badly of the person? Eli Yoshvin, if it's the people that are sitting there in shul and watching, listening to the whole Kriyas HaTorah, Hakach Azulei, they'll see exactly what's going on. So they'll see that the Kohen, that the first Kohen counts toward the Minyan Shiva, counts toward the seven Kruim, so it must not be a problem, that he must be perfectly kosher, and therefore it's not a problem. Elo liotzin. Now the concern is that people aren't going to stay for the whole Kriyas HaTorah. They're going to leave, and they're therefore not going to know that he counts toward the Zayin Kruim. Shalch le b'nei. Excuse me. Shalchle b'nei Galila l'Rabbi Chelbo, achareyan mi korin. So the b'nei Galila sent the shayla, okay, we know the Kohen goes first, we know the Levi goes second. Who goes after them? Lo hava b'yadeh. So he didn't have an answer ready. Asa v'shayla Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, so he went and he asked Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, amalei achareyan korin tamidi chamim mamun parnasin al tzibur. Right after them, we call tamidi chamim who are in positions of leadership over the tzibur. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yudal, it says that a tamid chacham that you could be shoal l'dvar halacha b'kol makom v'omer lo. That right away he could answer afilu b'meseches kala. No matter what question you ask him, he's ready to answer. That's a talmud chacham that's royal lismanos parnas al tzibur. And if he's a baki and only one mesechta, you only appoint him a parnas in his place. But if he's a baki in everything, he could become a rosh yeshiva. So Rashi said that we dafka say Meseches Kala because Meseches Kala is not a very commonly learned Mesechta. And if a person is even a baki in the more obscure areas of Torah, that's someone who's Roy Limnos Parnas El Tzibur. So that's the Maila, that's the Chiddush, that we appoint him to a position because he knows even that Mesechta. Tosa says Meseches Kala is the Griusa, that he knows the Drushos that are Seduros from Hilchos Achag. Meseches Kala means that what they would come to learn at the Kala is the Shir that they would have before the various Yom Tovim. So yeah, that he just knows Meseches Kala. He only knows what they've been learning before the Yom Tovim, so that's enough to be Mimana Parnes El Tzibur. But there's a Machlokas Aposkim, who are the Parnesim in our Sugya? Some say it's the Mori HaRa'a, the Rabbanei HaIr, but the Manhige HaKal don't have any sort of Kedima, meaning the board of the Shul or whatever, they wouldn't have any Kedima. And others say that it's not the people who are gedolim b'chachma. It's the people who take care of the tzibur, the lay leaders of the community, that they have etzah tova, or because they take responsibility, achrayus for the community. So it's not some machlokas rishonim who we're talking about over here as the tamid chamun parnasim el tzibur. And then after them says the gemara v'achrayin tamid cham haruuyim l'mnosam parnasim el tzibur. It's tamid chamim who are ra'uy to be parnasim el tzibur, meaning even if they're not actually in a position of leadership, but they could have been in a position of leadership. In Gilyonei Ashas, Rav Yosef Engel wonders he's done if that the fact that we're mechabid them. I'm sorry, that's the next one. V'achrein b'nei Tamid Chachamim shavosein memunu parnasim al tzibur. And after them comes the children of Tamid Chachamim who are memunu parnasim al tzibur. So it's not even Tamid Chachamim themselves, it's their children. So that's what the Rav Yosef Engel is not sure. Is that only when they themselves are osik in Torah? Or is it even when they're not osik in Torah, even though they're really doing the wrong thing by not being osik in Torah? And Adarab, it's a greater kitruk on them that their fathers were Tamid Chachamim, and so they know better, and they're still not osik in Torah. But so that's Rav Yosef Engel's not sure. Is it dafka because of the zchus avos, even though they don't keep up with it at all, or is it only if they keep up with the zchus avos? V'achrei, and then after them is Rosh HaKnesios, is the Rosh HaKnesios, the heads of the congregation, v'kal adam, and then comes everybody else. Gemara Pesachim Daf Mem Tasam Beis has a similar hierarchy of who a person is supposed to. Is supposed to marry, that you should marry a bas tamil chacham ideally. Lo matzah bas tamil chacham, you should marry bas gedolei ador. You can't find gedolei ador, you should marry the bas roshei kenesios. So the achronim ask, why in our sugya does not mention anything about the gedolei ador when it comes to aliyah l'torah? When it comes to marrying their daughters, we mention gedolei ador. Now what the Gemara means by gedolei ador is not what we call gedolei ador. We call gedolei ador a great tamid chacham mun parnasim el tzibur. That's the gedolei ador. But when it refers to the Gedolei Ador over there, it doesn't mean the Gedolim B'Torah. It means the people, the important people in the community. So the Yismach Moshe suggests in Parshas Pinchas that the Gedolei Ador are Anshei Maisa and Tzadikim, and therefore, when it comes to marrying them, if you want to get married, it makes sense that Anshei Maisa and Tzadikim are people to connect to. When it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, where the Takana of the Madregos was only because of Darkei Shalom, so they only wanted to be in things that you can't question, meaning a Kohen comes first, then a Levi, because you can't claim you're a Kohen if you're not a Kohen. Everyone knows you're not a Kohen. But something that's a judgment call, that everyone will say, well, I'm Gedolei Adar, why wasn't I called? Well, then it's not going to help for Darkei Shalom. It has to be something that Mimun and Parnas Melesi, but he has an official position. But Gedolei Adar don't have an official position, they're just people that are important people, so that's something that's not going to help in terms of Darkei Shalom, but in terms of looking for a Shidduch, so then it certainly can help itself as guidance to look for people who are of higher stature. Sholchle ben Egalil Rabbi Chalba, Mau likros b'chumashim beis agnes b'tzibur. Where can you read out of chumashim in a shul b'tzibur? So lo'av b'yadei, he didn't have an answer. Also shal Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. He went and asked Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, lo'av b'yadei, he also didn't have an answer. Also shal be medrasha. So he went and he asked in the base medrash, shupashtu ameha, da'am Rabbi Shulman bar Nachmani, yom Rabbi Yochanan. And they answered it based on what Rabbi Shulman bar Nachmani says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Sefer Torah shechasr yiriyah achas in korimbo. If a Sefer Torah is missing one section of parchment, then we don't read from that Sefer Torah. Velohi. So the Gemara says, but you can't really compare that case to reading from a chumash. Hasam mechser b'milsei. Over there, it's meant to be a Sefer Torah, and it's missing a yiriyah achas, so it's incomplete for what it's meant to be. Hachal mechser b'milsei. But over here, we're talking about something that was meant to be a chumash. It was written as a chumash, and therefore it's not chaser from what it was meant to be, and therefore maybe it would be okay over here. So it could be that even though chas yiriyah achas is no good, it could be reading from a chumash is good. Now this halacha chas yiriyah achas, major machlokas in the Rishonim, what that means for us la halacha. Tosfos Maseches Megillah Daf Tes says, wait a second, a Sefer Torah that says yagarsa adusa b'loshon hakodesh is possible, because even in the, if it's just missing a couple of words, l'chara it's going to be possible. But wait a second, over here, the Gemara says that a Sefer Torah that says yagarsa adusa b'loshon hakodesh is possible. So if it's missing these words, it's not going to be possible. If it's missing the words entirely, it's not going to be possible. And over here, it sounds like only if it's missing the entire yiriya is it going to be ein korin. So it sounds like only yiriya achas is nifsal. But if it's missing one pasuk, it's not going to be nifsal. So which is it? Is it when it's missing a word, it's the whole Sefer Torah is possible, or is it only when it's missing a whole yiriya the Sefer Torah is going to be possible? So Tosfos quotes that Rashi is metarets that it's worse when it's written in another language than when it's missing legamri. So if it's missing legamri, so then it's going to be kosher unless it's missing a whole yiriya. But if they have words written in a different language, that's going to be possible. Then Tosfos himself says that erech nami is kosher. The discussion of the Gemara is only to tell us that it's considered a mistake, but not that it's a pasul of Sefer Torah, which is all very startling. Meaning, according to either of those shitas, a Sefer Torah that's missing a few letters, okay, it's kosher, not a big deal. You could still be yotzei kriyas haTorah with it. The Ramban writes that a Sefer Torah that's missing letters or a pasuk is pasul in korinbo, and he has many many rayas. And Sefer Torah shechas yiriyah achas that our Gemara talks about, where it sounds like, oh, if it's missing less than yiriyah achas would be okay. He says no. It's somebody that's missing the last yiriyah of the Sefer Torah or of a single chumash. But when it's missing in the middle, then even a pasuk echad, even an osachas, ain korinbo. And that's what Mishnah Berurah quotes in his discussion about finding a mistake in the Sefer Torah. The various shitos in Rishonim that maybe you could be yotzei what you already read because there are shitos in Rishonim that you could be yotzei kriyas haTorah with a pasul Sefer Torah, with a Sefer Torah that's missing something or that has some mistakes along the way. And other Rishonim say no, that you're not yotzei anything if you read from a Sefer Torah that's pasul. So many different shitos in Rishonim. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva that chisorin of yiriya, so you're not allowed to read at all in the Sefer Torah. But a chumash acher, that if you have one chumash that's not chaser, even if what does Rashba say, that the chumash that's chaser itself you're not allowed to read from, but the other chumashim you are allowed to read from. So maybe you find the mistake in one area, you can read from the others. There are all different shitos in Rishonim how to deal with the Sefer Torah that's missing. Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Tavayu in Korn b'chumashim beis haKnesses may cover a tzibur, that you don't read from chumashim beis haKnesses because it's a cover a tzibur issue. It's a lack of cover a tzibur to read from chumashim as opposed to reading from a Sefer Torah. The Taz in Simen Nun Gimel, in a different context that discusses Kavanat Tzibur, discusses whether the Tzibur could say, it's okay, we're mochel, we don't mind, it's fine. If it's a different Kavanat Tzibur, maybe they could be mochel or kavan. So the Taz discusses in a different context. He's discussing the context where Shulchan Aruch says that a person who's not Nismali Zakano, a person who's not yet old enough to grow a beard, should not be appointed as the Shaliach Tzibur. That the person who's appointed as Shaliach Tzibur should be 20 years old, someone who's old enough to grow a beard. So the Shulchan Aruch says, so the Taz says, and even even if the tzibur is mochel on their kavod, it's all an union of kavod tzibur. He's a gadol, he's a bar mitzvah, it's all an union of kavod tzibur. Even if the tzibur is mochel, the Taz says, it's not theirs to be mochel, it's kvot shemayim, so they can't be mochel. So a lot of times with kavod tzibur issues, it's not the tzibur's kavod to be mochel. Shlomo Zalman points out in Alicho Shlomo that let's say you're running a minyan in a junior high school, so it's 6th, 7th, and 8th graders davening at the minyan. So there are a couple of rebbeim there also, so you're going to have a rebbe daven for the amida every single time. You're going to have a, because of a kavod tzibur issue, that you don't want to have someone under the age of 20. So Shlomo Zalman said, no, if that's the nature of the whole tzibur, then it's not going to be a kavod tzibur issue to have a 13, 14 year old to lead the tefillah on a regular basis. Rabbi Raviosi Darbi Tavayu, Hai Sefer Haftarta, Asa Lemikri Bebe Shabbos, Sefer Haftaros, where they would just write the Haftaros, you're not allowed to read from on Shabbos. My time, Deloni Tan Likasev, because it was not meant to be written. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Pachos mi Sefer Echad Shalem Liatzmo. You're allowed to write down Tanakh, obviously, but only if you're writing the whole Sefer. You're just going to write sections that you're going to use for the Haftarah that you're not supposed to do. Mavra Vashi Amr L'Tutule Nami Yasser, that it's Mutzah. You're not even allowed to move it on Shabbos. My time, Adol Chazin L'Mikribei, because you can't use it to read from, so it's Mutzah. V'loi, Shoyle L'Tutule V'Shoyle L'Mikribei. But we don't pass like either of those things. It's Mutzah to be Metaltel, and it's Mutzah to read from. Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Lakish, Ma'ini B'Sifrit Agadita B'Shabbata. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish would be Ma'ayin in Sifrit the Agadita on Shabbos. V'halo Nitzan L'Kasev. Aye, but what about the fact that it's Lo Nitzan L'Kasev? You're not allowed to write the Gemara, Halacha, Agada. You're not allowed to write any of these things down. Elikim D'Lo Efshar Eisla Hashem Eferu Sor Secha. No, but if it's not possible, we say in Eisla Hashem Eferu, we have to write certain things down in order to remember them. So it's the only way to be Mekai, to keep the Torah alive. So over here as well, even though you're writing less than a Navi Shalem, they had to write the Sifrei of Torah, because that was their only chance of having it available to them to be able to read from. So you see in the Maskana of the Gemara that we're allowed to write and to read from Sefer of Torahs, because not every Tzibur has the ability to write a Navi Shalem. The Taz in Simon Reish Pei Dalet Sifkan Beis Kotzum L'Vush, that since Kriyas Haftorah is only B'tzibur, why don't we write the Haftorahs like a Sefer, like we write Megillos, and then you don't need everybody to write one, you just have one for each shul, and it sounds like you shouldn't be Yotze with Chumashim that we have, says the L'Vush. So the Taz writes that from our sugya you see that Esas Hashem, you're allowed to have a Sefer Haftorah, so if it's written kedin, it doesn't have it would, even if it's not written completely kedin, it would still be okay, because that's part of so that's the discussion in Poskim. When we say that they write Sifrei Haftarta, is that only that they were, the Eis Lassos was to write down less than a Navi Shalim, but it still needs to be on a klaf and a scroll the way, or you could just take a printed chumash and just and use that for the Haftarta. So that's the machlokas between the Levush and the Taz. The Magen Avraham in the beginning of Sim Reish Pei Dalet, after he quotes the Levush, says that the minhag to read from Chumashim is a minhag kadmonim, so he says that the sugya, our sugya, that says that it's mutter to write Sefer Haftaros is because they didn't have the ability to write a Sefer Shalem. But he says now that we have Malach Sadfus and Svarim are cheap, we have a printing press, so you shouldn't just write a Sefer Haftaros. What's much better is to have a full Tanakh where you read it from the full Tanakh. So that's why you have shuls that have all sorts of different practices. Some aren't makbid or anything, you just read out of the back of a chumash. Others are makbid, yeah, you can read out of a printed Sefer, but it should be a Sefer that's all of Tanakh. And some are even makbid to read from scrolls of Nevi'im that they actually have klapim. Those are harder to find people who are able to read Haftarah, but there are some shuls that are makbel like that as well. Usually in yeshivas. Can you write a small section of the Torah for a child to learn from? So you're only writing a small portion. This is a shaila, regardless of how you hold the Torah was originally transmitted to us, whether it was given in pieces, Megillah, Megillah, or whether it was given all as one unit. If you say that the Torah was given in pieces, so maybe you could say, if the Torah was given that way, we can write it that way. We can write Megillah, Megillah at a time. Or no, maybe once the Torah was all connected to each other, so that's it. So then it's... then you can only write it in its entirety. And to write the Torah chasuma nitna, and it's a shaili even according to the shita that holds that it was chasuma nitna, given the chasuma nitna in kosvin. Do we say that since it was chasuma nitna, you have to write it all together? Or maybe since there's no other possibility, so we could write it in. I mean, there's no possibility of a reasonable way to teach it to children where it's going to be accessible to them to study. So maybe we're allowed to write it in Megillas. Amalei in kosvin. So he said in kosvin. Umatam, why in kosin? Lafisha in kosin, because in kosin. So that's a little bit difficult to understand. Rashi writes, "Vafilu madir megillah megillah in a kivin de idvik idvik." Lafisha in kosin is another way of saying that once it's already all connected as part of Torah, so it's all connected, and that's it. So the Aruch says, "No, lafisha in kosin is specifically not giving a reason. It's not giving an explanation. It's saying that's our Masorah. We have a Kabbalah biyadeinu that's the way it is. That ain't kosin. So you can't ask why in kosin." So different Rishonim have different approaches to that, but that's the Rashi and the Aruch at least. So it says Gemara, really in Kosvin Esve Afi Yosas Tavla Shozav Shaparsha Sotuk Suva Leha, that we're told about Hilani Amalka. Now, one of the things that she did was she made a golden tablet that Parsha Sota was written on. That's only a small section of Torah. I'm Rav Shemalak, Rav Shemalivani, but Aleph Beis. She didn't actually write out the whole Parsha Sota. She wrote Rashi Tevis of the Parsha Sota, and that was supposed to be a reminder of what it actually says in the Parsha Sota. Eisri, the Gemara asks further, Kshukosiv, Rav, Vakosiv, Masha Kosiv, Betavla. Now, when a person is writing, when a Kohen is writing the Parsha Sota, he should look at what it says in the Tavla, look at the golden piece. So if it only says the Aleph Beis, it only says the Rosh Tevis there, how's that going to help him write the Megillah Sota? It doesn't mean that he should write exactly what it says on that golden tablet. It means he should write what that tablet indicates is included in the parasha. So over there it has the Rashi Tevis, and when the Kohen is writing the parasha Sota, he should actually spell it out. But it says that he should write what it says in the tavla, and then it gives specifics that it says im shachav im lo shachav, which is paraphrasing the psukim from Parsha Sota. It doesn't sound like we're talking about just Rashi Tevis. Sachamayaskinon b'seirugin. No, over there we're talking about where seirugin. Rashi says that it would say tchilas emikra. It would have the hayukas of Tevis Shlema. L'besof Rashi Tevis. It would start out with one full word and then have Rashi Tevis for the rest of the Parsha. But it didn't actually have the whole Parsha written out. In fact, this may be a machlokas tanoim, whether we're allowed to write megillos for a tinok to learn from. You're not supposed to write megillos for a tinok to learn from, but if it's daita lahashlim, you plan on completing that whole sefer, ultimately, then it's mutter. So you're in the process of writing the whole sefer, so you're writing a whole chumash, then it's okay. Rabbi Yudom Rebbereshis ad Dara Mabul. When you're writing from sefer Bereshis, you only have to write up until Dara Mabul. That's considered an entire section of Maisa Bereshis, and that could be written independently. Betoros Kohanim ad Vayibe Yom Hashmini. If you're writing in Vayikra, you can write until Vayibe Yom Hashmini, because that's the section of Karbanos, and that's considered its own independent section. Amar Rav Yochanan Shmuel Rabbi Nachman, Torah Megillah Megillah Nitna. Shnemar Azem Marti Yinei Basi B'Megillah Sefer K'sov Alai. That Torah must be written Megillah Megillah, because the pasuk in Tehillim says that it's B'Megillah Sefer K'sov Alai. Rav Shimon Lakish Amar Torah Chasuma Nitna. No, Torah was given all at one time, all together. Shnemar, because the pasuk says in Devarim Lakoach a Sefer HaTorah Hazos, that refers to it as Sefer HaTorah. It's really Hazeh, that is our Lashon, that Sefer HaTorah Hazeh, that you have this Sefer HaTorah, implying that you have it in its entirety, and only then was it given to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'idach nami yaksiv lakach. What does the Shita that holds Megillah Megillah Nitna do with the pasuk of lakach a Sefer HaTorah Hazeh? Hel l'basa di'idbik. That's talking about after it was already connected. V'idach nami yaksiv b'megillah sefer k'sov alai. What does the shita that holds that it was chasuma nitna do with the fact that the pasuk in Tehillim refers to it as a megillah sefer? So Gemara explains, ha'u dekala Torah kula ikri megillah. That's because even the entire Torah, when it's all together, it's still called a megillah. D'chsiv ha'yomer le'ma Torah v'amra niroa megillah afa. That in the Navi Zechariah says, what do you see? It says a megillah afa, but a megillah afa is referring referring to a Sefer Torah. Inami l'chad Rabbi Levi. Dam Rabbi Levi, Shmona Parshios Namru B'yom Shukam Ba'a Mishkan. Or we could assume that we're assuming like Rabbi Levi, that it's called the Megillah because there were eight Parshios that had to be given on the day that the Mishkan was erected, because there were certain things that even though the Torah was all going to be given at one shot, there were certain things that had to be written down because they had to know just practically what to do once they had a Mishkan. I guess this counts as a Yomi coincidence as we approach Parshas Truma, all about the Mishkan. So on the day that they had to have a functioning Mishkan, there were eight Parshios that they had to be familiar with. Eluhain, and what are these eight Parshios? Parshas Kohanim, they had to know the halachos of which Kohanim are kosher to do the avodah, which ones are not kosher to do the avodah, because they were about to get into it. Uparshas Leviim, they had to know about the Leviim who are gonna be in charge of the Shira and everything else in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan. Uparshas Temeim, they had to know the halachos of the Temeim, because for obvious reasons, because you had to deal with Tum and Tara in the Beis Hamikdash. If you look at Tosos Parshas Temeim Pirush Bekuntros Vayihi Anoshim, the Parshas Temeim is the parsha of Vayihi Anoshim. The Kashal Pirush Shadom Parakam Dupsach Mshalim Bilch Pesach Chodem Pesach Lamed Yom Shai Novi Yom Pesach Rishon Masal Pesach Sheni Ulfise Ika Chodesh Vechetzi Kivin Shnamer Brosh Chodesh Nisan. That according to this, if you had to already know this by Chodesh Nisan, then the 30 days before that would have been 30 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, not 30 days before Pesach. Va'od lo yitachan Rabbi Yosef Glili damer nosei Aron shel Yosef hayu Rabbi Yisrael damer lemeis mitzvah nitmu v'chal shvi shalahem be'erev Pesach. V'nir the parshas tmeim anu parshas v'yinazru d'ksiv be tumas sheretu nevel v'kal tzorach tumas mikdash u'kadashav. So he says, no, parshas tmeim is not v'yihi anashim about halachos ha-Pesach, but rather it's about the various laws of tumah and tara that apply each and every day in the Beis HaMikdash. V'yitinanar Parsha Shiluach Temeim, and the Parsha of Shiluach Temeim, of who gets sent out, Michutz L'machane, and Parshas Achremos, and the Parsha of Achremos, which is the Parsha of Yom Kippur, to know what the Avodas Yom Kippurim is, Uparshas Shuyayin, Uparshas Neros, and the Parsha of Shuyayin, and the Parsha of Neros, of lighting the Neros in the Beis HaMikdash, Paloscha, Uparshas Paraduma. So since those parts were all written Megillah, Megillah, and those parts had to be given B'Megillos, even though the rest of the Torah was all given at one time, but the way the rest of the Torah was written was then in Megillos when it was given all at one time, because it was just about being mashlim in between those eight parshios. So it was just filling in the sections that were missing. So it was Megillos that were filled in, but it was all at one time that it was given, as opposed to being given over the course of time. It was eight parshios at once, and then the whole rest of Torah at once. So the Marsha explains, what exactly is this machlokas? Megillah, Megillah nitna, or chasuma nitna? So he says that the Torah is definitely achas hi mitzada nosin. In terms of the nosin, in terms of the Ribono Shel Olam, the Torah is one. It's the one giver of the Torah, one writer. There's only one author, but the mekablim have differences. Those who receive the Torah have differences. The chelik hasod v'nistra shebetorah, that everyone is has his own angle on it. The chelik hanigla shel Torah is also tali b'shinoi inyanim. So that's why it's in Megillah Nitna. It's a mechulak based on the mekabel. The chasuma is that we look at it based on the nosein, meaning that this is not just a practical discussion of how the Torah was given. This is an indication of how the Torah ought to be given, of how the Torah should be viewed. Should we view the Torah mitzada nosein, or should we view the Torah mitzada mekabel? So mitzada nosein, there are certain elements of the Torah that's echad, because that's certainly mitzada nosein, but for each of us, we each receive our own angle of understanding the Torah properly. So that's the reflected in the Megillah Megillah Nitna element. Am Rav Lazer, Torah rov b'chsav u'miyut al peh. Rav Lazer says the majority of Torah is b'chsav, the minority of Torah is Torah shebal peh. Shnemar echtov lo rubi tarasi k'mo zer nachshavu. Rabbi Yochanan amar rov al peh, that no, most of the Torah is Torah shebal peh, u'miyut b'chsav, and the minority of the Torah is written. Shnemar ki al pi hadvarim ha'ele, that it's mostly al pi hadvarim ha'ele, it's mostly al peh. Vidoch nami yaksiv echtov la rubi tarasi. What does he do with the fact that the pasuk says that most of the Torah is being written? Hahu atmui kametama. No, that's a tamiya. It's supposed to be read bitamiya. Echtov la rubi tarasi ala kumozar nachshavu. Wait, you think that the rov of it is biksav? No way. Vidoch nami yaksiv ki al pi advar meile. If you hold that it's rov biksav, what do you do with the pasuk ki al pi advar meile? Sounds like the majority of Torah is Torah shabal peh. Humishum de tekifi lemigmarinhu. When it says ki al pi advar meile, it's not saying what the majority of the Torah is. That it's saying that it's difficult to learn it and to understand it. So that's why it's very chashuv to be koreis a bris dafka in Torah shabal peh. So that's al pi advar meile. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Koreis Bris with us, because Torah Shebaal Peh is so challenging, it's such a significant challenge to learn, so that's why it's a point of Koreis Bris, but not because of quantity. So obviously the kasha that the Acharonim deal with, the Prim Gadim, Psicha Kalelas, Kiryas Sefer, Nakdama, all deal with the issue of, why, there's a Machlokas and Metzius. If it's a Machlokas and Metzius, we know who's right. Meaning, if you can argue, is it Rov B'Chsav, Rov Baal Peh, look at any bookshelf in any Torah library, the Tanakh takes up one book, and the whole rest is Torah Shebaal Peh. There's so much Torah Shebaal Peh, so much more than Torah Shebichsav. So you can't say that it's a machlokas and metzius over here. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi writes, "Be rov haTorah tuluya b'midrash sheksuv l'midrash b'chal pratu gzereshav v'shar midrash haTorah nidrash ben miuta al peh she'ein remez l'lmud b'Torah elamoshen nemar al peh." Meaning, rov b'chsav includes that which is learnt out from the Pesukim through the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and Drashben, meaning they're arguing about what's considered Torah Shebichsav and what's considered Torah Shebaal Peh. Do we consider the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and Drashben outside of and all the dinim outside of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai? Is that have a status of Torah Shebichsav, or does that have a status of Torah Shebaal Peh? That's the issue. Nafkaminer, whether it's Rov Bichsav or Rov Baal Peh, says the Kiryas Sefer, is if Bezin makes a Hora'ah by on something that's done karis v'shigoso chatas, and there's suffix whether that's something that's stukim or modimbo, whether it's Torah Shebichsav, they're going to be potter, or if it's dover shein stukim modimbo, which is Torah Shebaal Peh, in which case they're going to be chayiv a karm chatas. So we follow rov haTorah, meaning whenever you have a suffix whether this is bichsav or baal peh, whether the issue that they're dealing with was an issue bichsav or baal peh, you would follow rov. So if you hold rov bichsav, so then you would assume it's part of Torah Shebichsav. You hold rov baal peh, then it's Torah Shebaal Peh. The Prima Gadim Psicha Kalelas at the beginning of Arachayim says nafkamina is Torah Shebichsav, you're allowed to write down. Torah Shebaal Peh, you're not allowed to write down. So are you allowed to write down the drushos that are learned from the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidrashes Ben? If you hold rov bichsav, you hold that that's Torah Shebichsav and it can be written down. If you hold rov baal peh, it means you hold that that's Torah Shebaal Peh and cannot be written down. Darush Rabbi Dvar Nachmeni, Mitzvah Gemara Rabbi Shem Melakish, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Ksov L'chasa Dvar Me'ele, Ksiv Ki Al Pi Advar Me'ele. So which is it? Is it Ksov or is it Al Pi? HaKetzad. Dvar Mishab Ksav Yata Rashi Loman Al Peh. Well, the rule is, if you have Torah Shab Ksav, you're not allowed to say it Al Peh. Dvar Mishab Al Peh Yata Rashi Loman Ksav. Ala Omran Ksav. And the Dvar Mishab Al Peh, you're not allowed to put into writing. Dibei Rabbi Shmuel Tana Eile, Eila atakosev, yatakosev halachos. That you're allowed to write these, but you're not allowed to write halachos. Meaning you're allowed to write Torah Shebichsav, but you're not allowed to write halachos. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lokaris HaKadosh Baruch Hu bris im Yisrael, el b'shvil dvar m'shabal peh. Shenemar ki al pi advar me'ele krat yitcha bris, that's Yisrael. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu only made a bris with Klal Yisrael because of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So it's Dafka Torah Shebaal Peh, that's the cause, that's the bris that Hashem has with Klal Yisrael. Now why is it that you're not allowed to say Dvarim Shebichsav Baal Peh? So the Ritva says, because Dvarim Shebichsav, there are chaseros v'yaseros, there's kri and ksiv, meaning there's things that are going to be lost when you say it Baal Peh. You can't tell the difference between chaseros v'yaseros or kri and ksiv if you're just saying it Baal Peh. But when it's Bichsav, so that's all there on the parchment. Others suggest that kriya Baal Peh, you're more likely to make a mistake, so it's going to be a ziyuf haTorah. You're going to say everything wrong in the Torah. The Urim writes that if we were mutter to say it Baal Peh, then no one would ever have any motivation to write it down. And then Amei Aretz would say that the Chachamim are just making it all up because it's not written down. There would be no book to look at to see if it's accurate. accurate or not. So many different suggestions of why it is that we're not supposed to say Torah Shebichsav Baal Peh. Now, apparently that's not always an issue, though, because in Tfilos, there are all sorts of psukim that we're always quoting. In fact, one of the requirements the Shulchan Aruch talks about in Siman Nun Gimel to be a Baal Tfilah is that a person should be, after it goes through, he should be an Anav, and he should be the right kind of person, and he should be, right, and all the qualifications that we look for in a Shaliach to Merutza Lekal, and, you know, all the good things, and not have a bad reputation. So one of the things that it says is that he should be someone who's well-versed in Tanakh. So some say, yeah, it means he should be holding in Torah. He should be someone who's a Ben Torah. Others say, so Mishmur quotes others say, no, Dafka Tanakh, he should be well versed in, because there are so many Psukim. How's he going to read the Psukim? He's not going to know how to read the Psukim properly if he's not well versed in Tanakh. So the Rishonim raised the question, how are we allowed to read all those Psukim? We're not reading them out of a Chumash. So Tosfos Maseches Tumur says that Nevi'im and Ksuvim is Mutter. But that doesn't really, it's not really Miyashev, all the Parshios from the Torah, Shir's Hayam and Kriya Shema, doesn't answer all the questions. So Tosfos says, we're not makbid when you're not being motzi acher midei chavasam. That's what the Gra says as well. If you're just reading it for your own tefillah, it's not a problem. It's only when you're being motzi acher midei chavasam that you have to read it mitoch haksav. That's a major heter already, because that means that pretty much any time you're just learning, you can say chumash bal peh. It's only when you're being motzi someone in a mitzvah. The Talmid Rebbe Yonasan, anytime it's a parsha that serves to that functions to serve another mitzvah, that it's accomplishing another mitzvah other than just Torah, so then you're allowed to read a Baal Peh. So Kriya Shema, Birchas Kohanim, any parshios that accomplish something else is mutter to say Baal Peh. Okay, so now we go back to the discussion of the Mishnah of all the things that they were masakein Mibnei Darkei Shalom. So we said Ma'arvin Bebayis Yashan Mibnei Darkei Shalom. We make an Erev in the, we keep the Erev in the same house because of Darkei Shalom. We don't move the Erev to a new house. My taima, ilim shum kavod, if it's for the kavod of that house, vahushi puradav meikara be'rav Yehuda, l'b'sof be'rav, l'b'sof be'rav Yosef, l'b'sof be'abai, l'b'sof be'rava. What about the shofar? So Rashi says, it's talking about the shofar that they would blow on Erev Shabbos to announce the coming of Shabbos. They would constantly move it around from one person's house to the other person's house. Tosfos says, no, that's not the shofar we're talking about over there, because that shofar they would leave Barosh Hagag. Plus, Rabbi Yehuda was in Pumbedisa, Rava was in Machuza. So why would they have the shofar? What does it mean to move from one person's house to the other house? Presumably, Pumbedisa and Machuza each had their own shofar to herald the coming of Shabbos. So rather, Tosfos says the shofar means, the shofar also means a tzedakah box. It was where they kept the money where that was in a davar l'talmidim, that they would support the talmidim with. So that they would move from one house to the other. So if it's kavod, then why do they move the shofar? Elam mishum chashada. No, it must be that it's a concern of chashad, that we don't want to keep the Erev because we don't want to move the Erev because we don't want people to think that they moved the Erev because the first house was chashad on always stealing the Erev for themselves and taking it for themselves. So in order to that, people shouldn't be choshed, the members of the first household, they would always keep it in the same house. Tosfos says, well, wait a second, according to my shita, that the shofar that we were just talking about that they did move was a box of money, so shouldn't we be concerned about chashad for that, that people would want to take that for themselves? So Tosfos says, everyone knows that they would leave the shofar of money by the Rosh Masifta to divide up to the Talmidim, so there's no concern of Chashad. But you see why Rashi doesn't want to say like Tosfos over there, that we're not concerned about Chashad in that case. It must not have been a money issue. Then the Mishnah said, Barshu Karv La'ama, that the bar that's closest to the Amas Hamayim, that's Nismali Rishon, that gets to fill up the water first. So Itmar, it's said in the base Medrash, Pnei Nahara, the people who own fields that are right near a river. So the river flows downward, and there's a whole bunch of fields alongside the river. Rav Amar Tatoi Shasumaya Bresha, the people toward the bottom of the river get to fill water from the river first. Ushmol Amar Yiloi Shasumaya Bresha, that the people toward the top of the river, where fields toward the top of the river, they get first. But Bidemezal Kuli Amalo Pligi, when the river is just going on its normal path, and there's no one that's diverting it at all, so then there's no machlokas at all, so you let it go on its normal path and whoever gets. Keep ligi b'miskar vashkuye. The whole machlokas is if they divert the path of the river. The people in the upper fields want to divert the path of the river to let the river water their fields. Shmuel amri lo yishosumai b'resha da'amri anon makravin etzvei, that the people in the top get to do that because they're closer to the source of the river. Rav amri tzai yishosumai b'resha da'amri nara kapashi lezel, let the river just go on its normal path and then it will come down to us. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, Barakov Lama Masmali Risham Nedarke Shalom, that those who are closest get me in Pnei
darkei shalom. So don't you see like Shmuel? So Tirgum Shmuel liba the Rav. Shmuel was answered on behalf of Rav, that which is interesting. Shmuel disagreed, but he answered on behalf of Rav. That we're talking about a case where the Amas Hamayim passes by, it fills up on its own the bar of the top field. So you don't have to divert it at all, and that's why the people in our mission in the top field get first. So Yihachi Maile Meimra. But if that's true, then what's the chiddush that they get first? Of course they get first. So Madatei Matzi Amilei Sachar Miskar Vashke Bihindza. I might have thought that the people in the bottom fields could say, cover up your boros so that it doesn't fill up your boros, and so that there will be enough water for us. So Kamash Mula, and therefore it comes tell us that they don't have the right to say that. Amar Rav Unibar Tachlifa Hashad Loitmar Hilchsa Lo Kamar Blo Kamar Kol Dalim Gavar. Now that we don't have a clear conclusion La Halacha, so we just say Kol Dalim Gavar. Whoever is stronger gets to win out and take the water for themselves. What do you mean? It's Machlok is Rav and Shmuel. Normally Hilchsa Shmuel Bedine. Don't we always pass on like Shmuel? So some of the Rishonim say, yeah, but over here Shmuel defended the Shita of Rav, and that may be an indication that really over here the Halacha is like Rav. So maybe an exception. So that's why we just say, Kol Da'alim Gavar, whoever is stronger gets the upper hand. Okay, Be'ez Shalom, pick up the Sun Barashi tomorrow.